had a good Pesach. I'm sorry that we've been apart for longer than we anticipated, but now that we're, thank God, together again, and hopefully we'll continue that in the long term. Just a little bit of housekeeping before I start. This week, please God, we'll have the shir now, and next week is Yom HaTzma'ut, so there'll be no shirim obviously on Wednesday. Other days, I think on Thursday there is, but you'll check that with the OU. The week after that, please God, we'll be back together. But then for 2 weeks after that, I'm going to be away. I travel in May. Sorry, now that we just got together again, I travel every year in May. So assuming that travel is happening, then I'll be away. I suppose if travel is not happening, then we probably won't be together anyway. But so either way, I don't expect to see you in 3 weeks from now. But who knows? Everything is always surprising.
Don't be pessimistic.
And don't be pessimistic. And then after that, I'm away 2 weeks, and then I have no more plans for traveling until September. And then we'll talk about that nearer the time. I'd like to thank, please, our sponsors for the Shiurim. The Wednesday morning program here is dedicated during 2026. Le'ili Nishmois Daniel ben David and Limud bat Avram Strauss, Mordechai ben Moshe Reisel and Reisel bat Yosef Meir Marcus, Zichron Livracha. They are the parents of Judy and Menachem Marcus. My Shiur is sponsored for the year. Le'ili Nishmois Brana bas Brandit. And Zelig ben Kalman, Aleihem HaShalom. And if I could just remind you to please turn off your phones, I've been reminded again to remind you, that would be great, and then we'll move on. Now, we've Baruch Hashem been together in this year, not necessarily in this particular location, for nearly 11 years. And the topics that I'm going to deal with over the next few weeks, we haven't looked at for at least 10 years. So I figure that it's good for a little bit of a renewal, a little bit of chazarah, some new material as well. In case you do remember, there's always somebody that says, I was here in 2016 and you mentioned that. That's usually Miriam. So that, since there is always that wonderful person present, I will make every effort, as we have done today, to add new makoros so that you don't feel that you're being shortchanged. The parshas between Pesach and Shavuos from Vayikra are the parshas dealing with Kedusha. Kedushin Tiyu, what does it mean to have Kedusha? There's no English word that can translate easily from Kedusha. I mean, holy and sanctified, they only express part of it. Part of it is what we call Kedusha Tazman, the idea of Shabbat and the Chagim. Part of it is Kedusha Tamakom, Eretz Yisrael, obviously Bahar, focusing on the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But a significant part of it is the Kedusha of the relationships between people. Parshas Achrimos, Parshas Kedoshim, focus primarily on mitzvahs bein Adam l'chaveiro. Certainly the end of Achrimos, not the beginning, which obviously is about Yom Kippur. So I want to look at some of those mitzvahs bein Adam l'chaveiro, which we haven't looked at for a very long time. And I want to start with this mitzvah, the central focus of Avas Reim, which I've called learning to love people we don't like. Which is a challenge, because there are a lot of people in this world that we don't like. And there could be a number of reasons for that. It could be because they're just objectively unpleasant. There are people like that in the world, for whatever reason, and unlikable. Or because they've treated us badly in some way. And I'm not, God forbid, talking about a real abusive relationship where there's been some emotional, physical, God forbid, even verbal abuse. We're talking about just people who behave insensitively and inappropriately. And why should I like them based on the way that they behave to me? And also, and this is particularly relevant now, because they belong, although it's not new as we'll see, they belong to a group. And I disapprove of that group. That group in Klal Yisrael is not the way I think Klal Yisrael should be. They're part of the problem. They're not part of the solution. They're dragging us down. They're going to cause us trouble, etc. And therefore, I don't like them. There are all sorts of reasons why we might feel like that to all sorts of other people. And therefore, I want to examine today seven approaches as to how we might change that approach, and maybe love people even though we don't like them. Maybe there's no mitzvah to like them, but there is a mitzvah to love them. We'll see what that means. And I want to give you some suggestions on that, which hopefully you'll take something from there and see which one you most connect to. Let's start with two quotes from the Netziv, which are quite well known, but I want to put them in some context. When the Netziv Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin opens up on Sefer Brachos. He wants to give a little introduction, which I brought you in full in number one. We'll read it in full. Zeh Sefer Nikra Sefer Brachos. This book, which is Brachos, he says, Nikra Bifnei HaNeviim Sefer HaYashar. The Neviim don't call it Brachos. We call it Brachos. They call it the Book of the Straight, the Yashar. He brings the Gemara as Shnei Mikraos, which quotes two psukim. One, B'Sefer Yehoshua, V'Halohi K'suva al Sefer HaYashar. It says in Yehoshua, isn't it written? Look over there in the Book of Yashar. U'B'Sefer Shmuel Bed, in the Book of Shmuel Bed, V'Yomer L'Lameid B'nei Yehuda Kashet, Hine K'suva al Sefer HaYashar. Again, he says it's written already. Go look it up in the Sefer HaYashar. And the Gemara explains this Sefer HaYashar is the book of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because they are called Yesharim. They're straight. Shneimar Talmud Nafshi Mot Yesharim. Bilam, when he forced to give a bracha to the Jewish people, he says, I want to die the death of the Yesharim. Who are the Yesharim? Chazal explained Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And of course, Bilam is often juxtaposed with Avraham Avinu, Talmidei Bilam, Talmidei Avram, etc. The Eshlavim, we need to understand. Hatam, Lama Kara Bilam es Avosenu B'Shem Yisharim. Why did Bilam call the Avos Yisharim? B'Yichud specifically. But like Tzadikim, why not call them Tzadikim? Or Chasidim, or Chasidim? Kedoyla. V'gam Lama M'chud Ezeh HaSefer B'Yichud Kniu Yisharim. Why is the book called the Book of those Yisharim? U'Bilam Yitbale La'atzmo Shri Yachrisom Kamo B'Bale Zeh HaKinu. And Bilam wanted to end up like them. Which of course he didn't end up like them, but that's how he expressed his bracha that was put into his mouth. V'ha'enyan, what is this telling us about? Second paragraph. The Nidbar B'Shirat Ha'azinu, in Ha'azinu we say, Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo, God is the rock whose works are perfect. Sadik the Yashar, who God is described as righteous, as true, as just, and straight. The Shvach Yashar Hu Nema Lahatstik Din, Din HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Churban Bay Shem. The word tzaddik is coming there to justify tziduk hadin, that we accept the justice of what happened to us in the Second Temple. Shehayador ikesh uftaltal, because they were a twisted and corrupted generation of Jews. And now he says why. Upeirashnu, and we see what happened there. Shehayu tzaddikim v'chasidim v'omlei Torah v'amlei Torah. They were tzaddikim. And they were chassidim. They were very frum people. V'amdei Torah. And they learned Torah all the time. Achloi hayu yusharim v'halichas olama. But they weren't straight. They were crooked. They were twisted. Being a tzaddik and being a chassid and being a Talmud chacham is no guarantee of being a yashar, he wants to say. Al korach mipnei sinas chinam. Because of the sinas chinam Shebelibam that they have for other people, zeh et zeh for each other. Chashtu et misharau shenoik sheloi kadasam yiras Hashem. Anyone who didn't fit their criteria to what a frum Jew should be, they judged them and they said shehu tziduki. He's a Sadducee. The Apikoros. He's a heretic. Ubar yidei zeh yidei shvichas damim b'derech haflaga. This eventually led to terrible bloodshed. Ulechal ha'roi sheba oilam and the terrible things that happened in the world ad shecharav ha'bais until the bais sheni was destroyed. Va'al zeh ha'yid tziduk ha'din. That's why we're saying to God, you were right. Shehakodesh baruch hu yasharhu. Ve'enus soivel tzadikim ke'elu. What a statement. Enus soivel tzadikim ke'elu. Hakodesh baruch hu can't stand tzadikim like this. Meaning it's worse that they're tzadikim. If they were just regular lowlifes, okay, what do you want? He's a lowlife. What do you expect? No, they're tzaddikim, and they behave this way. That's even worse. They have to also be straight. They can't be twisted. Oh, yeah, but we're doing it l'shem shamayim. For the sake of heaven. Shkoyach. Everybody's doing it l'shem shamayim. Or they all think they're doing it l'shem shamayim. That's not an excuse. The Zegorim Churban, that just brings Churban, Habriya, the Harisas, Yishuv Haaretz, and destroys, God forbid, Eretz Israel. The Zeha Yishvach Avos, and this is why we pinpoint the Avos, Shemil Vajahayim Tzadikim, yes, they were Tzadikim, the Chasidim, and they were careful in their relationship with Hashem. The Oyevei Hashem. The Oyevei Hayose Evsha, in extreme ways, they were Tzadikim and Chasidim. Oyev HaYusharim, but they were also straight. And look at what he gives as an example. Hayushahid Nagu im Umas HaOylam. Look how they dealt with the non-Jewish world. Forget about their own family. The non-Jewish world. Even idolatrous pagans of the most objectionable kind. Avram had a certain love for them, and he wanted good for them, because he wanted the world to survive. How much effort does Avram go to daven for the people of Sodom? Even though he completely rejected them. Next time we will see what sinner really means. It doesn't mean hating. You don't hate people and love them at the same time. But you can reject them. And that's wrong. So sometimes wrong. Even though in this case it was right. We'll see what sinner means in more detail. He definitely rejected them in many ways. Their malkam and their king. Tachlis sinner. In the most extreme way. Avu rishatam. Kum avu uruba ma'amaroi. Lamelechtam. As we see when he speaks to the king of Sodom. I don't want anything of you. I don't want your money. I don't want your lifestyle. I don't want you. Mikol makam chafetz v'kiyum. But he didn't feel that he wanted them to be destroyed. He wanted them to survive. He had a certain sense that they had a place in the world. They could improve. They could be worked on by tzaddikim who would influence them. And therefore, says the Netziv in this extreme example, if Avram Avinu could have this kind of feeling for Anshei Sodom, who represented pretty much all that's corrupt in the world, all the more so we need to be like the Avos in many ways. Now, that, of course, has limits, and we'll see what those limits are and how that works, but that's an important starting point. And he says also, in a tshuva, which is quite famous, but I wanted to bring it again, it's called the Ma'amar Yamin Usmol, the right and the left. He wrote it in the 1870s, I think. There was an article published in a journal, I think it was called Machziki Hadat, by the Hungarian Orthodox community, basically saying we should completely pull away from Jews who are on the left. From all those who do not agree with us, we should have nothing to do with them, we should separate from them. And then Tziv wrote a response to that, and this is what he says. B'shal she'ayinu ba'arzeinu ha'koich, b'rushaseinu kimat b'bayit she'ini, when we were in our land, and we almost had like our independence under the Hashmonaim in the Second Temple. V'itzam ha'aretz v'charav ha'bayit v'gala Yisrael, and yet everything was destroyed. We lost everything. We went into galut. And the reason we were thrown out was because of machlokes between ourselves, between the Pirushim and the Tzedukim. And that hatred turned into real bloodshed, completely unjustified. When a Pharisee, a Pirush, saw that somebody was lenient, be'ezidava, even though this person wasn't a real heretic, because he's not in support of the tzedukim, but this person wasn't a tzedukim. It's klal at all. Ela asa aveira, he was just doing something wrong. Not just even a justified kula. He was wrong. He was behaving inappropriately. When this Pharisee saw them, mikol makom machmasina skinam hayashofto letzduki, he would immediately label them as a tzduki. Shibarini them also. And once you label someone as a tzduki, then all bets are off. You can just, you know, shove them in the ditch and they're gone. Better, the world's better without them. But reading in our time, once you label people in that way, umizen nischarvam shlichas damim, and this is what, it's rabbi, excuse me, shlichas damim, beheta u l'shem mitzvah. They were killing people l'shem mitzvah. L'shem mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah to kill these people. But it was all a terrible error. Because the Einu Rechak Min Adas, and when he writes to these people in the mid-19th century, and of course the Netziv was very involved in Chibat Zion, in the Chodav Eitz Zion movement, the early movement to try and get back to Eretz Yisrael. He was a big proponent of that, at least in the early days. It's not inconceivable, he says, L'hagir chas v'shalom be'ez kezos, that we might get back at this time, gam kein asher al pi ros enei echad mimachziki hadas, where one person who is, interesting, Machziki Hadas, I think that was the name of the magazine it was printed in. I didn't realize that until just now. Those people who are indeed upholding the religion. Yidme shepleini eno mitnag al pi darko ba'avoydes Hashem. They see another person who's not to their liking in the way that they they live their Judaism. Vishpatenu leminis, and they say they're a heretic. Vizrachik mimenu v'yiroifim zeh zeh beheta, and they chase each other and pursue each other, thinking it's justified. B'dimyon kosev, and it's really all an illusion, chas v'shalom. V'shiches kol ha'am ha'am Yisrael am Hashem chalila, and God forbid the Jewish people could be destroyed. Zeru afilu im hayinu ba'arseinu b'rushoseinu, and it won't help that we go back to Israel. If we pull each other to pieces in Russia, we'll pull each other to pieces in Bnei Brak as well. Won't help. Therefore, we need to deal with this at the root. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking that the Netziv was some kind of liberal 21st century, loves everybody, loves every movement, multi-denominational. He wasn't that. Now, what he would have said today, I have no idea, because no one can put words into the mouth of the Netziv today. At the time, he was in favor even of paying money to secular, non-observant Israelis who were coming to Israel to get them to go back to Russia. Because he didn't want secular people in Israel. So don't think that this Netziv is often quoted as being the most unbelievable. It wasn't quite as simple as that. Even though other people at the time were horrified, this Rav Moileva, Rav Shmuel Moileva says, we're not going to give money to Ben Gurion, as it were, I didn't mention him specifically, but to the people in there for a secular to go back to Russia. That's not what we're doing here. So the Netziv definitely had strong views. He was anti-reform and anti-other things. But he said, when it's within the Jewish world where we're together in many ways as achim, which I think goes beyond just religion, certainly today. And I don't think the Netziv would want to pay money to secular Israelis to move to, well, to where? Where are they going to move to? California? Like, I don't think so. But I don't know. But nevertheless, the warning in the Netziv is extremely important. Okay, great. How are we going to do this in practice? Because a lot of the Sinat Chinam that we read about was between religious Jews and non-religious Jews. Now I think that there's a completely different playing field, and it's between religious Jews and in a different kind of way. So I'm going to try and suggest some actual practical solutions, not just cry och and they, and see how we work this out. So let's jump into this. Top of page 2. First of all, let me bring you a grok. The grok says, quoted by the Nefesh HaChaim, the Chaim Volozhin, his student, he says as follows, the Hagra Amar, The Vilna Gaon said, "She'ika amol shel adam, the main focus of a person in their Jewish growth, tzarich liyos al averus bein adam lechaveru, b'chol hadik dukim." We have to change our attitude to bein adam lechaveru, he says. We think of bein adam lemakom as ritual mitzvahs, as very technical. You know, someone says to you, make a cup of tea on Shabbos. You get all very sort of legal. Oh, I'm going to have a clean wish, I'm going to have a clean shame, I'm going to have a clean shlishi, I'm going to do like this, I'm going to do like this, I'm going to do like this. But then people say things like, well, what about the mitzvah of Adonai Kaschus, to judge people favorably? It's like nice middas, be a nice person, you know. Even though in the real world, nobody is going to go around thinking everybody's wonderful. You're just going to get yourself into terrible trouble if you think that, because it's not true. But we don't apply the same kind of criteria, the same kind of analysis. When we see the mitzvah of Dana Kavsruz for Tzedek Tishpar Amitecha, it's no less complex than making a cup of tea on Shabbos. You have to work out, is this person a tzaddik? Are they a Rosha? Are they a Beinoni? And what does it look like? Does it look more than 50%, less than 50%, more than 80%, less than 20%? You're going to have to get, it says the Gra, you're going to start thinking that way with Bein Adam Lechaveru, and then you're going to do it right. And then that's going to be part of the answer, because you're going to actually keep these mitzvahs, not as just nice middas, which are very important to have in good midot, but they're actual mitzvot as well. And I'll go even further. Most of the, if you go on a daily basis and you start clocking out, how many Torah mitzvahs did I do today? Most of them will be Bein Adam Lechaveru. A lot of the ritual Bein Adam Lemakom that we keep, a lot of the kashrus, a lot of the Shabbos, a lot of it is rabbinic, which is nothing wrong with that. The Drabonos are very important. But we don't go anywhere near Doraisas usually in Kashrus. It's pretty hard to really trafe up. With the way our kitchens work, it's pretty hard to trafe them up like good and proper. It's very rare that you're going to really do Surei Doraisa on Shabbos. Maybe with Borer. Okay, Borer is always the one that gets people. But are you really going to cook on Shabbos like Doraisa? It's not likely to happen. But with Bein Adam Lechaveru, there's very rarely a Drabonah. It's all or nothing. You did it or you didn't do it. It's Doraisa or it's not. It's not there at all. And therefore, many of the mitzvahs that we do on a Torah level are these Bein Adam Lechaveru. So let's have a look at some of them now. Let's go quite quickly through some of these sources, fascinating as they are, because we have a lot to do. Let's look at the root, number four, coming up in a parsha near you very soon. Loisikim loisita espanei amecha, don't bear a grudge, don't take revenge, rather don't bear a grudge against your people. We're not talking about that now. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha ani Hashem. Magic words, the golden rule. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, you have to love your neighbor like you yourself, okay, your friend, I should say, not your neighbor, like yourself. Ani Hashem, because I am God. And there's lots of questions to be raised on that. What does it mean, your friend who is included in that? Because there are lots of words used for the other person, the object of your mitzvah in Aram L'Chavera. Although it must be said, I use the word object with chunk trepidation, because we mustn't treat the recipients, if you like, of Bein Adam L'Chavero ever as an object. It can become quite tempting, but it's not allowed. That's one of the reasons why we don't make a brocha when we do a mitzvah Bein Adam L'Chavero. Someone comes and knocks on the door and Anya says, have you got any staka? And you look at them and you go, oh, gewaldig, let me just make a brocha, baruch ata, Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'am, shekin, shalom, mitzvah, sabbat, tibanu, leten staka la'anim. Go on, say your name. You know, who wants that? He feels like I just shook him as my lulav. You know, that's not what it's all about. So we don't objectify people, but there are people at the receiving end. So the Torah gives them many different names: Re'echa, Amecha, Amitecha. What are the other ones? Re'echa. We just said Re'echa. Achicha. Very good. Achicha. And they're not synonyms. They don't all mean the same thing. And therefore, we need to work out at some point who's Re'ech. I'm not going to be getting into all of this. My main question is, what is Ahava? By the way, Ani Hashem is an interesting point. Rashi says, Ani Hashem is usually said on a mitzvah where you might try and fake it. You can fake it with other people. Oh, I do like you, you know. God knows what's really going on. Yeah, that's why it usually says Ani Hashem. Because there are some things that, you know, other people might not realize, but you understand that God does. But what is Ahava? So first of all, Rabbi Akiva comes along, number five, Rashi quotes, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, Ama Rabbi Akiva, Ze klal gadol b'Torah. And you can sing the song later, okay? What does he mean, Ze klal gadol b'Torah? He wants to say, this is not just a mitzvah. This is not a prat. This is not a specific thing. Like eating matzah on Seder night. You ate matzah, shkayach, you did it, you finished. No more matzah till next year. Okay, relief. About Pesach Sheni, excuse me. Pesach Sheni. For those who are already missing the taste of the Ma'afikomen, Pesach Sheni is coming up soon. Actually, at our Seder night, Pesach Sheni was one of the great revelations to our grandchildren. They're just at an age now where they can really learn the, and then nobody had heard of Pesach Sheni. They were like, what? There's enough. We're doing all this again in the ER. So it was very funny to see their realization. So some mitzvahs are very specific. This is not, it's a klal. This is not just something you do, it's something you are. For example, the Sefer Chinuch says, number six, Amar Rabbi Akiva Zek Klal Gadol B'Torah. Climber, what does he mean? This is not just another mitzvah. Many mitzvahs go with this mitzvah. You really love somebody like yourself. You won't steal from them their money. You won't have inappropriate relationships with their wives. You won't rip them off. You won't oppress them with words. You won't change their boundaries. You won't damage them at all. Many other mitzvahs go together with. You do adav alachol ben das. And anyone who realizes this. Every time you stop yourself from doing another bein adam lechavero aveira, you also did the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Every time you do hashavas aveda. Nice. You also did v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Meaning every single thing that you do in any other area bein adam lechavero, if you do it right, then you get bein adam v'ahavta l'reicha. If you do it wrong, then you broke bein v'ahavta l'reicha. Meaning it comes every single time. To think how many times this mitzvah says the chinuch repeats itself again and again and again and again. Okay, so let's get into the weeds. Taka Unklus translates in a very literal way. Number seven. Terachem lechavreich, love your friend. Kevate, like yourself. Ana Hashem, I am God. Okay, makes sense. Number eight. However, Targum Yonason doesn't say that. It says, V'terachem lechavreich, love your friend. Deman ansani lach, whatever you don't like, loy tavid lei, don't do to them. Ana Hashem. Targum Yonasan has flipped it into a negative mitzvah. Why? Why has he done that? It sounds like a beautiful positive mitzvah. Love your fellow person as...
Because we are much more careful about love.
Right. Because love is a strange thing. We usually associate love with some kind of emotional connection. I love my kids. I love, you know, my friend. There are people I haven't met before with the best will in the world. Maybe they're the nicest people in the world. I just met them. I mean, I can't really tell you that I love you. I just don't have any feelings for that person yet. I just met them. And vice versa. So what does it mean? Says the Targum Yonasan, it doesn't mean you have to have an emotional feel for them. Look at the Marashah who explains how this works. He says, Mikol makam amay shina loyma lo belosh shlila. Why do we flip it into the negative? Da alach sani, whatever you don't like. Don't do to them. The Targum Milishna Dekra have a Leila Meima, because shouldn't the Targum have said, Uturach Mila Chavreich Kavatech, love your friend like yourself, Katargum Unklus. Why didn't he go the same route? Vishloiman, I want to tell you as follows, says the Marashah in the 1600s, 1700s. Demashmale Dekra La Airi Ela Bechi Hai Gavne. It's telling you a very important secret. That the Pasuk is talking about that case, the negative case, Velotase, in a negative mitzvah. Because it's written in the same line, the same posik, as not to take revenge, not to bear a grudge. And that's why it says, you must love your friend. Don't do anything bad to them. Whatever you don't like. But when it comes to proactive chesed, helping them, that's not this meant. That didn't say you have to do that. Because at the end of the day, if it's between you and them, if it's your life versus their life, you know, whose life comes first? Your life. So it's not really that you actively love them as much as you love yourself. That's not normal. It means don't do to them what you don't like when people do to you. Because now you don't need to have any emotions for that. I just met somebody, or I don't even know who they are. Their coat's lying on the floor. So I'm not going to walk on their coat, because I don't like it when people walk over my stuff. I'll put it on a hook. You just did the mitzvah via haftal reich kamocha. No love needed. No emotions needed. Just basic dollars and cents. You want to go do chesed, you want to help people, you want to do hachnasas kalah and hachnasas or beautiful. That's all optional. It's recommended. You get this mitzvah. Look at what he says at the end. Actually, he doesn't say it here, but he's telling you that it's a kiyum of the mitzvah. If you want to do the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim, that's beautiful. But where does it say in the Torah you have to invite guests to your meal? We'll see in the Rambam how he understands it. But he's saying here, the key thing is that the negative obligation is what the Pasuk is talking about. Don't be insensitive, don't be rude, just don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. Even if you don't like them, who cares? Whether you like them, whether you love them, just treat them like you want to be treated. Zero. That's the mitzvah. Okay, so that we can do. I mean, how much do we need to be on a level where I just don't want to do stuff for you that I don't like it when people do for me? Okay, that's good, says the Marashah. That's the base level of the mitzvah. And if you go over the page, this actually mirrors what we see from Hillel. And actually, it would be very nice if Targum Yonasan was indeed the Yonasan ben Uzziel, who was the student of Hillel. It's not clear that Targum Yonasan was written by Yonasan ben Uzziel, because the Gemara says the Targum on Navi was written by Yonasan ben Uzziel, but doesn't say the Targum on Chumash was. But let's just assume that it was, because it would fit very nicely. In academic circles, the Targum Yonasan on Chumash is called Pseudo-Yonasan. Okay? Look at number 10. Shuv Masiv Anakri Echa, very famous Gemara, the non-Jew that came, Shevalif Nei Shammai Amalei Girani Amalashim Lantene Karatar Kula Kishani Amalei Regal Achas. Please teach me, convert me, and teach me the Torah while I'm standing on one leg. Dachu Bamasabin Shevayadu, Shammai pushes him out, I don't need klotz kashas, I don't need any silly people like you asking me ridiculous questions, I'm going to fill in the whole Torah on one leg, 25 seconds. The non-Jew is basically saying, I know you rabbis. You can speak for hours, but can you give me 20 seconds, the essence of Judaism, your elevator pitch? Yeah, you get into the elevator in the Empire State Building, and next to you is, I don't know, Jeff Bezos, the chairman of Amazon, who's got like so many billions of dollars, he'd never even notice if he gave you 5 million. Make your pitch for your big project. Says this non-Jew, make your pitch. If you can make a pitch in 20 seconds, I'm in. Shammai just says, get lost. We're not doing that. We're not playing games. Torah is, you have to sit and learn seriously. Balifnei Hillel. Oh, he comes to Hillel. Geira, and of course he converts him. This whole Daf Gemara is dealing with stories of Nudnikim that came to Hillel, and he never lost his patience. This is the same story. They made a bet. Will I get him to lose his patience? And they call him on Friday afternoon from the showers, again waiting for Shabbos, and ask him stupid questions. He never lost his patience. He was always accepting. Safe space. That's why, and I kid you not, that's why every student house on campus, Jewish student house, is called Hillel. So it's there for every nudnik, weirdo student that will feel accepted, not judged. It's a good job it's not called Shammai. Otherwise, it would be a pretty... That sounds more like a fraternity. You're only in here if you're Tochel Kabaro, etc. So he came to Hillel, he converts him. Amalach, he says to him, Da'alach san lechavrech le'tamid, whatever you will atavid, whatever you don't like, don't do to other people. Same thing we saw. Zohi kol haTorah kula. This is the whole Torah. This is my pitch. He doesn't mention God. He doesn't mention Shabbos. He doesn't mention keeping kosher. He says, if you can just not do to other people what you don't like when they do to you, that's the whole Torah. Ilach perushim. The rest is the commentary, the small print. Zil Gemara, now you can go and learn all the details. He doesn't say all you need to do is be a nice person. He says you also need to read the small print. Trust me, I'm a lawyer, or I used to be. You've got to read the small print, or at least, or pay somebody else to read the small print. Yeah. But it's the small print, and that's why I brought you this. I brought you this before. Some of you may remember. I saw this from Professor Almer many years ago. I heard a shift from him, who won a Nobel Prize many years ago for game theory. He says, just look at the way the Aseret Dibros looked, based on the Midrash that says that all the words covered the entire stone. There was no margin. There were no gaps at the edges, and he says, why would I even need to know such a sort of random tidbit about the luchos? Who cares? I'll never see them, you'll never see them. Okay, we had a shiur once on the luchos, remember? We talked about Charlton Heston, the whole works. Okay, fine. The Mabit, Rav Moshe Detrani in Svat in the 1500s says, no, don't you understand? There's hundreds of words on the first side, Bein Adam Mamakom. There's only about 25, 30 words on the second side. The Chazal are telling you that when the people first saw the Luchos, the writing covered the whole thing. To fit 180-something words on one side, you have to make the font smaller. And then to fit 30 words on the other side, you make the font bigger. So the very first visual image of Torah that the Jewish people got, says the Mabit, the Chazal is telling us, is big print, small print. Ah, Bein Adam Chavero, that's the big print. Bein Adam Levaka, okay, that's important, small print. But that's not the main thing. And that's why the Rambam understands in number 12, I'm not going to read the whole thing, that ultimately the V'yahavta L'recha is B'mamayno U'begufo. It's how you treat people tachlis. Their money, their physical welfare, you want for them what they want for themselves. It's not about emotions at all. It can be, but it doesn't have to be, etc. Contrasted with Avat Hashem, if you look at the way the Rambam describes the mitzvah to love God, that's, wow, that's with your b'chol nafshecha, v'chol miyodecha. It doesn't say v'yahavta l'recha mocha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyodecha. I don't have to do that. I just have to pick up his coat and stick it on a hook. But when it comes to God, whoa, I've got to fall in love with God. I've got to be more in love with God than I am with my spouse, my children, my family, my parents. The Ramban, I brought you in number 14, suggests that's why it says, V'yahavta et Hashem Elokecha. Someone who really loves you says, Ani ohev otach. Ani ohev otcha. Le'ahov et is to actually be in love with a person. Whereas in the verse about other people, it says, V'yahavta le'riecha. That's not even grammatically correct. Some person comes up to you and says, Ah, Chabibi, Ani ohev lach. Like, what? You've got to get all pan before you come and tell me you love me. Yeah? It's not the only, says the Ramban. No, there's another kind of ahava. There's ahava le, and not ahava et. Ahava et means I have to fall in love with the person, develop emotions. The ahava le means I'll do things for you. I'll help you. I'm not treating you in a way which is insensitive, etc. That's the ahava le. Interesting, when it comes to the mitzvah to love a ger, convert, both are used. There's Ahavat et and Ahavat le. So maybe with a convert to Judaism, you actually have to go out of your way to develop a real relationship, a real love, because they need it. They really need it. Other people, they don't need your love. They just need you to treat them nicely or not to treat them badly. Maybe Gerim need more because they have less infrastructure, etc. And therefore, just to kind of finish off this section, when the Rambam explains how this works halachically, again, like the Gros says, let's learn this halachically. Number 15, mitzvahs aseh shel divrayim. There's a positive rabbinic mitzvah. Levake choylim, lenachem aveilim, lehoitzi ameis, lehachnis akala, lelavos ha'orichim, lehazasek bekonsarki agvorah. Those are all the chesed mitzvahs. Inviting guests, going to a shiva visit, going to a hospital visit. L'seis ala kesef, to carry out the dead. Leilech lefanof, lispoi, to give hespedim. Lachpor, to like for, to dig the grave, fill it in. V'keilis sameach hakala v'hachosen. Interestingly, we call it simchas chosen v'kala. The Rambam says, no, you've got the wrong way around. It's simchas kala v'chosen. The kala comes first. The chosen's some clueless guy on somebody's shoulders. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing. All he knows is there's a big party, everybody's singing and dancing, and he's marrying a pretty girl. She's the one that's thinking, am I making the biggest mistake of my entire life? Okay? He's got no clue. So when you're focusing, it's the Sameach Kala V'chosen, okay? All of these mitzvahs. The Lizadam HaKotzarcheim, to give them all the presents for their marriage. Now, great. These are all chesed mitzvahs. The This is all chesed you do with your physical self, as opposed to your money. Stocker, you can just write a check. You can't write a check to a shiva house. It's like, it's ridiculous to say. You have to be there. There's no limit, although we'll see that there is a limit, but we're not going to get there today. There's no fixed limit. It's not like a desire. And look at what he says next. I put this in bold. Even though I've described all of these chesed mitzvot, going to a shiva, doing a hospital visit, etc., as rabbinic. Harihim bichlal v'yahavta. The word klal gadol. The Rambam's take on klal is beautiful. On a level of chiyuv, of obligation, it's negative. Don't be insensitive, don't be rude, don't treat other people's property and person in a way that you wouldn't want people to treat you. On a positive level, the Torah leaves it to you. You want to do chesed? Great. You don't want to do chesed? Okay. You don't have to. You just have to not be negative. The rabbis come along, says the Rambam, and say, okay, like, it's very optimistic. The Torah is very optimistic. It expects you to want to do more. The rabbis are very realistic. They say, if we leave it up to people to opt in to doing chesed, you know how much they're going to do? Forget it. They're going to sit and watch Netflix because it's just easier. So the rabbis say, we're going to put this structure together. Go to a shiva, go to a funeral, go to a wedding, buy them presents, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And every time you do that, you get the Torah mitzvah v'yahavta l'rayecha kamocha. As a mitzvah kiyum, you're mekayem the mitzvah. You didn't have to, but the rabbi said, we'll help you to. And by the way, this is important. If you go out in the streets and ask random Jews around Rechavia, is there a mitzvah to invite guests? And every one of them will say yes. Then ask, where does it say that in the Torah? And 999 out of 1,000 will start talking about Avraham Avinu. And you'll say, what's that got to do with anything? I want a mitzvah. You shall invite guests. Where does it say that? And then, I don't know. And the answer is, V'hafta Re'ach Kamocha. Like all the chesed mitzvahs. If you do this, you get a Torah mitzvah. And that's the purpose of Chazal generally. The Torah says, pray. Avodah Shebelev. How do you pray? It's up to you. When do you pray? Whatever you like. What do you say? You decide. And the rabbis come along and say, that's beautiful. But like most people are going to just be clueless and they're going to say, I don't know what to do. Good, so give them a rabbinic structure. Shachris, Mincha, Mariv, Minyan, Kaddish, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then they'll get the Torah mitzvah. Although you don't need to do those things in theory, but the Torah wants you to pray, and you should still pray in your own words. But the rabbis give structure. Okay, good. End of part one. Approach one and approach two. I put on the top of page four. If you want to know how to love people you don't like, so maybe you could focus just on the negative side. Just not to be rude, not to be unreasonable, not to be insensitive. And in terms of the proactive side, okay, that's a different question as to how you do it and what you do. You don't have a chiv to do it. And you certainly don't need to get into an emotional bond with people. You just have to treat them the way that you would want to be treated. That's the first approach. Rabbi Fran, by the way, I brought you here, gives a different understanding of the Rambam, where he says, you know something? If you start actually treating people this way, the more you do, you will actually, almost against your your will, you will actually come to love them. Because the more that you do for people, the more you invest in people, the more you will actually develop a bond for people. Which is very interesting, which is usually why parents love their children more than children love their parents. Because the parents have invested so much in the children, they've developed that bond, whereas all the child does is take and take and take and take, and you feel resentful. You don't love people who you take from all the time. It just doesn't work that way. I remember Rabbi Cardozo once, he should live and be well, he told me an interesting story about two American veterans that he saw in a hotel once, in a lobby in a hotel. And they said, "Are you a rabbi?" And he said, "Yes." He says, "Can you help us? We're not Jewish, but we have a question." He says, "What can I do help you with?" He says, "We're Vietnam veterans. And we ended up doing such things to such people and so many times at the beginning. It was impossible for us to do that. We had to kill people. But by the end, we were completely desensitized. In the end, we have no sensitivity to the value of life whatsoever. We feel destroyed by that. What can we do?" I remember he said, "Look, I don't have a magic answer to this. But if you start to do small acts of chesed for people more and more and more and more, just tiny little things, that will build up to a resensitization of the worth of other people, of love for other people." It's very interesting, same idea that we're seeing here. So that's approach one and two. Approach three. There's another whole mitzvah of chesed, of doing things for people, which has got nothing to do with ahava at all. Ahava on some level requires empathy. Maybe I don't love you personally, but like I relate to you because I know how that would feel if people did that to me. This is a whole nother mitzvah. Look at number 16. The Ata Yisrael Hashem Elokecha Shol Meach. What does God want from you? Ki Meira Es Hashem Elokecha. God wants you to take it seriously. Lira. Yeah, this is not a joke. It's not a game. Lelechet Bachol Drachav. To go in God's ways. And we see this pasuk again and again. V'halachta B'drachav. I brought you 17, 18, 19. Repeated in Devarim again and again and again. Copy God, copy God, copy God. How do you copy God? Says the Gemara number 20. The Amar Rebbe Chiya, Abichama, excuse me, Rebbe Chanina. Very famous Gemara. Might it say, Hachrei Shem Elokecha B'Teleichu. Why does it say you have to walk with God? Can a person really walk together with the Shechina? God is a destroying, a burning, a consuming fire. You get annihilated if you get too close. Nadav Anaviyu, yeah, Uzzah, which was the Haftorah. You try and get too close, you get zapped. You don't want to do that. Ela lahalechacha midosu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You follow the way Hashem acts in the world. Mahu malbish arumim, just like God gives clothes to those who are naked. Adam and Chava did say, V'yas Hashem elokim al adam le'ishtoi koisnes or v'yalbishem af atah. You go looking for opportunities to clothe them, to clothe those who have no clothes. Halbish arumim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kei choylim, and God goes to visit the sick, the siv, v'yera elav Hashem ve'eloni mamrei, Avram Avinu is sick, he's visited by Hashem after his mila, afata b'kei choylim, go also to visit the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichem aveilim, Hashem goes to comfort the bereaved, the siv, v'yihi achrei mos Avram, after Avram died, v'yivarech elokim et Yitzchak b'no, he goes and gives a brocha, you know, to feel good as a nechama, afata nechem aveilim. So too, you must do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kovem mesim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries the dead. Dichsir ve'yikvor asur b'gai. God buries Moshe in the valley. Af atak for mesim. What's going on here? This is a different approach. I used to say to my students when they were doing chesed, you know, when you go into a family in your chesed program, the 18-year-olds, they go, they have to do chesed. The Sem tells them, it's part of the curriculum. You've got to turn up. So you might feel different. You might walk in there and see, you know, a dysfunctional arrangement and the kids screaming and running around and eat 6 days dishes in the sink and da-da-da-da. You might feel, oh my goodness, like I don't know these people, I don't love these people, but goodness, if I was in this situation, I would so appreciate a chesed girl coming to help me, so I'll do that for them. That's via after the Recha Kamocha. I said, you might turn around and say, who are these people? Why do they have so many children if they don't know how to cope with them? Why are they losers? What's going on? Why is this home completely dysfunctional? And the answer is, okay, you don't have any empathy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the world and says, you know, really? This is how you ruin the world? He still gets involved and he still helps and he still does, you know, Bikur Cholim and Nichum Aveilim. You're not doing it because you feel empathy. You're doing it because that's the way that a godly person acts. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu models that. Okay, you don't feel empathy, shkoyach. But you know, we're also don't deserve all the help that we get. But God keeps on giving us breath, giving us life, giving us food, and therefore you can at least feel that, and that's why Halakhta B'drachav. You could feel both. And then you get two mitzvahs. Or you could feel neither. And you can say, I'm only here because the Sem will throw me out and send me home if I don't come. And then you lost an opportunity to do some mitzvahs. Okay, you helped some people, that's nice. But you lost that opportunity with that kavanah. And the Rambam brings that down quite in a very similar way. Although, just to put a little machshava kind of spin on it, if you look at when the Rambam brings this down, he doesn't say that God acts in those ways. Because that actually is offensive to the Rambam's theology. He says, it looks to us that God acts in those ways, which the Rambam has to say. He says it very clearly, just in case you ever thought that you understood anything actively and proactively about God. You don't, he says, but it looks to us that that's how God runs the world. Okay, Shabbat. So that's level three. Maybe we don't have any sympathy, we don't really have any empathy, but nevertheless, we can at least be godly. We can at least do this because that's the way an ethical, godly person has to act. And that helps us to connect with other people as well. Go to page five. There's another whole mitzvah which I'm not getting into now, which I will, please God, get into, which is Va'asita Yashar Va'atov. The Torah says, do the right thing. Yashar. Be yashar, like we saw in the Nativ. Be good. What does that mean? Rashi comes in, bringing Chazan, and says, it means to go beyond the letter of the law. Sometimes the right thing to do is not what the halacha says. The halacha says something is permitted. Yeah, but it's not the right thing to do. I need to do more than that. Of course, if the halacha says it's prohibited, then it's prohibited. But just because the halacha says it's okay, doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, halacha is a floor, not a ceiling. It's a starting point. So sometimes the approach with other people is, okay, strictly speaking, I don't owe them anything. But should I? Maybe I should do more. Maybe I should go beyond what they don't deserve, what they don't really, what they shouldn't get from me, etc. That's another way forward. We'll talk all about that mitzvah in more detail. But let me now show you some new things that you won't have heard from me before, certainly not in this forum, which is a piece from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, from the Baal HaTanya, a piece from Rav Kook, and then a little bit of the Arizal at the end. Okay? So let's have a look first at Rav Kook. Rav Kook in number 23. Rav Kook says, I'll tell you something fundamental about how Jewish people work. He's writing to the Ritvaz. The Ritvaz, Rav Vilensky, I think it is, was unhappy with Rav Kook over the Het Mechira. And he says to Rav Kook, why are you always finding justifications for the secular Israelis? They weren't Israelis yet in the Yishuv. Why are you bothered with these people? They're just trying to trample Torah. And he says, yeah, you can ask me. Why? Why I'm always trying to bring people closer. Gamed Poshe Israel, even those who do Averus, Kedela Atsirim, to help them do tshuva. He says, I'll tell you why. So it's Yeda Hagon Rav Agon. He tells the other rabbi, Rav Vilensky, he says, Sheshnei Dvarim Ikarim Yesh Nashehem Yachad Boimim Kedusha Yisrael. There are two elements that build the Kedusha of a Jew. Vahikashrut Ha'elokit Imam, and the connection they have to God, Imahem. Ha'echad, who has skula, the first one is the skula, the inherent quality of what it is to be spiritually Jewish. Kloima, teva ha'kadusha, sheva nishmas Yisrael, miyurushas avos. The nature, what it means to be part of the Jewish people, which is imprinted on the neshama. The hasigula, who koyach kavish pnimi, an inner holy source, munach beteva ha'nefesh b'ritzon Hashem. It's there, you can't remove it, you're Jewish. Like everything has its nature. Mehamed Sias, everything, whether it's animal, vegetable, plant, etc. A Jew is a Jew, they have a segula of a Jew. The habeis, who inyan habachira. And the second element is how they choose to act. What mitzvahs they do, what mitzvahs they don't do. Zetoy b'masa ha'toyvu b'talmud Torah. They learn Torah, they don't learn Torah. They do mitzvahs, they don't. But it's two different things. Now look what he says. Ha'chelik shel segula hu harbe. The segula element of Jews is enormous. But ein aruch klal, you can't even understand how enormous it is. Your tekad over kadosh me'achelik atalug b'chira, and it's much more important than the element of what they do. Their nature as an inherent Jew connected to God and to other Jews is much bigger than what they actually do. Ela shebrit kruta hi, the covenant with God is made she'as segula hapanim is loy tigale bisman hazeh, in such a way that you don't always see the segula. You most associate Jewish Jews with how they keep mitzvahs. Because that's what you can see on the surface. So the segula is reflected by the choices, by the bechira. He says, but it's not true. That's only what you can see. Look at the third paragraph. The Hashem Yisparach Hanoi B'chasta B'chol Dor. God knows the insides, and God knows in every generation. Masadehu et Sidrei Hanashamos. God works out how all the neshamos are going to work. Had Shrichos La'afir Ba'olam, which are appearing in the world. Look at this line, very important. Lefamim Koech Habachiru Mitgaber. Sometimes they're frumkeit, let's call it. And I don't mean that in a negative way. The genuine keeping mitzvahs, learning Torah, is much bigger. Mitgaber v'koyach ha'sigula omeg b'matzav ha'erem. But when you ask, well, are you rethinking about the Jewish people as a whole? Do you feel connected to all the Jewish people? They've lost on that. They've somehow let that weaken. Okay? The Eino Nikaron, you don't see that. It seems to be all about their Torah, their mitzvahs. Well, what about the rest of Klal Yisrael? They can just go, you're going to go hang? You know, you don't care about everybody else? Sometimes people seem like that. Ulefamim, at other times, Koach HaSegula Mitgaber. They feel very connected to the Jewish people and proud for the Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael. But in terms of their choices, they don't keep Shabbos, they don't keep kosher. They don't get that, they don't get the Bechira part. They get the Segula part, but they don't get the Bechira part. And what the Rav Kook says, you can read the rest on your own, he says, I don't take Jews for just one of these. Or rather, the other way around. I recognize either one of these, I should say. In my eyes, he says, you don't need both. It's best to have both. He says, but very few people have neither. He says at the very end, he says, there are some Jews who are self-hating, who hate the Jewish people, who hate the land of Israel. He goes, I'm not interested in those people. They've lost the Segula, and they've lost the Bechira. He says, but the vast majority of Jews that I meet have either got the Bechira, they do mitzvahs, and they're bothered about them, but somehow or other, they're just not thinking, klali, they're not thinking about the nation as a whole. And others are very focused on the Jewish people, but they've just lost their way when it comes to mitzvahs. That's okay. That's okay. But he says, that I'm prepared to be makar of any of those people. When I look at, he was talking to somebody who was thinking about the non-observant Jews of the time, who had lost their Bechira, but had their Segula. They wanted to build Klal Yisrael, the people who we know founded the state. Today, we're also talking about the people who have got the Bechira, but they've lost the Segula. Okay, you know something, this Rav Kook works for many generations. So now I think when many of the people that I speak to, certainly in the religious Zionist world, look out to other communities, they see the koach of the non-religious community who have fought with them in the army, and they look askance at the koach, the Haredi community, who they say, well, like, well, what's going on? You've lost your connection to Kaish. I says, Rav Kook, just calm down. There's a Bechira and there's a Segula, and we need to try and get them both. But some people just get one more than they get the other, and don't fall apart because of that. It's a very important point that he makes. Therefore, I brought you approach 5, is that we're looking for the Segula, we're looking for the Bechira, and an idea, we're looking to connect them. But if they don't connect, then okay, that's something we can work with. The Balatanya has a beautiful piece. The Balatanya says, he gets more Kabbalistic. And he says as follows, maybe I'll summarize this a little bit outside, you can read it. It's a very important part of the Tanya, it's Perek Lamed Beis, it's called the Lev HaTanya, chapter 32, where he says, at the end of the day, we don't see people, certainly not Jews, as bodies, as physical. If you see people as physical, then everybody's different and you feel disconnected. He says, we see people as neshamas. At the end of the day, all people are the shamans, all Jewish people, non-Jewish people, I'm not going to get into his attitudes, non-Jews right now, but certainly let's start with Jews. Every Jew is in the shaman, and if you go far enough up the chain, so if you want to get a little bit more Kabbalistic, when you get to the level of Chochmah, where all of the neshamas come, it's one neshama, it's all one neshama. So you need to feel like you're an actual, just another aspect of the same neshama of every other Jew, and that's why he says they're really all achim, in a real way. Just like you share genetics, you share DNA with your sibling, you are the same neshama as every other Jew. You don't like it or not like it, okay, that's up to you, but you are. And therefore, the more we can see people as neshamas, the more we can actually realize that there is nothing that separates us on the most fundamental level. And of course we have to try and, you know, act appropriately and improve people and help people and criticize people. That's not to say we should just accept everyone how they are. But the reality that people are one neshama, he says, is a very real one. And it's not just a nice idea. He says, when you look at the world, you have to see the spiritual and not the physical. He downplays the physical a lot. I know that's not the only approach in Jewish thought. But he says, the physical at the end of the day, that's where all the Yetzer Hara is. It's in the physical. It's in what people do physically. It's not people in people who they are spiritually, and that's a very important point. Let's just finish with one small thing, which is actually a very big thing. The Arizal brings down, look in number 25, the Magen Avraham quotes it. Kaidem tfila shachris. Before you daven shachris, yikabel alav, you should accept upon yourself mitzvahs aseh shel, the ahavta, the reicha kamocha. And he quotes the kavonis of the of Rav Chaim Vital, which is coming from the Ari, which is that davening to God can only be done when you can create a yichud, a unity with other people, with other Jews. Because at the end of the day, what you're trying to do, certainly from a Kabbalistic level, is create yichudim, is connect all the system, of realign all of the pipes, all of the downflow that's been corrupted and messed up and is not coming out in the right way. He says, you can't rebuild the vertical system of Keter, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, etc., etc., all the way down to... You can't create the vertical alignment unless you deal with the horizontal alignment. That all Jewish people are part of that system as well, and therefore we have that unity. And therefore, let me just look with you, just let's one last source, in number 27. If you look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you can look in the 26 in Rav Chaim Vital, in his original later. Look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, we'll finish with that. Gam yikabal alav kodim kol tefillah. Not just shachris. Mincha mar, whenever you daven, you should accept mitzvahs v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. And you have to take on, as he says, to love every single other Jew, whether you like them or not, kanasho, like your own nefesh, like we saw in the Tanya. Because if God forbid there is a detachment and disagreement in a fundamental way between Jews below, as gam lamala ein hitachdut, there can be no yichud lamala. Aval ha'itachdut begufeihem shelamata gerim hitachdut dveikas nafshesem lamala. And the more you can unite them below, the more you'll unite them above. Va'alidei ze gam tfilaseihem mitachdus, and then all our tfilas will get joined together. V'hiyos tfilaseihem klalios yachad hi ritzuya lefana misparo shemoy. So there's another way we can approach this in our davening, in thinking about the need for achdus. So okay, there are lots of practical things there. I hope not just nice ideas, but real things. And we can think about that more. Next week, we'll, please God, have the opportunity of Yom HaSmot. And the week after, we will come back and we will take this to the next stage and we'll go from there. Okay, lovely to see you all again. Thank you for coming, and everyone should be well.